Palmer, brother and sister, W.O. June 16th, 1901. Typed. Dear brother and sister Palmer, I have written a few lines to Edson and will now write a few lines to you. I have come so near a breakdown since returning from Battle Creek that I do not know how the effort that I am making at this camp meeting will leave me. I am of good courage in the Lord, but I feel the burden of the church. Did I not understand that I am carrying the burden for those present at this meeting, I should have a serious time. But I thank the Lord that I understand the matter. I feel sorry that you are disappointed in regard to the means coming in as you hoped. But be of good courage in the Lord. He is your hope, your courage, your victory. At the 5:30 meeting this morning, I read some most precious matter to the people. At 11:30, I read and talked to them again. Last night, a subject was presented to me that was presented to me years ago. What saw he in thy house? 2 Kings 20, verse 15. I spoke in regard to the many ways in which means could be used to do good. But money is not used as it should be. Great mistakes have been made in the church. Some of those professing the faith have corrupted their souls by deception and have kept back part of the price. Many today are keeping back that which the Lord has entrusted to them as His servants for the carrying forward of His work intelligently and extensively. Year after year, thousands pass into the grave unwarned and unsaved, while the talent of means is hid in a napkin, buried in worldly enterprises. The guilt of having the Lord's money passes all computation. This was the instruction given me last night. There was a distant colony of Britain in great distress because of famine. Multitudes are dying of starvation, and a powerful enemy is gathering on the frontier, threatening to hasten the work of death. The government at home opens her stores. Public charity pours forth. Relief flows through many channels. A fleet is freighted with the precious means of life and is sent to the scene of suffering, accompanied by the prayers of those whose hearts are stirred to help. And, for a time, the fleet sails direct for its destination. But having lost sight of land, the ardor of those entrusted with the work of carrying food to the starving sufferers abates. Though engaged in a commission which makes them co-laborers with the angels, they lose the good impressions with which they started forth. Through evil counselors, temptations enter. A group of islands lies in their course, and though far short of their destination, they decide to call. The temptation grows stronger as mercantile advantages present themselves. The selfish spirit of gain takes possession of their minds. They are prevailed on to remain on the islands. Their original purpose of mercy fades from their sight. They forget the hungry, starving people to whom they were sent. The stores of life entrusted to them are used for their own benefit. The means of benevolence is diverted into channels of selfishness. The cries of the perishing ascend to heaven, and the Lord writes in His record the tale of robbery. Think of the horror of human beings dying because those placed in charge of the means of relief proved unfaithful to their trust. They bartered the means of life for selfish gain and left their fellow beings to perish. Many inquire, can this be a fact? It is, and yet it seems almost impossible. And in a higher sense, this great sin has been and is being repeated. The world was perishing in sin. Its condition is described in the 59th chapter of Isaiah. It was seen in heaven that men were perishing, and the compassion of God was stirred. he devised a means of relief, and at what an infinite cost! He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16.
There was no hope for the transgressor, except through Christ. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Zion, saith the Lord. Isaiah 59, verse 15 to 20. The Lord chose a people, and made them the depositories of his truth. Christ gave his precious life to save the world, and made his servants his stewards in trust. With the gift of Christ, all the treasures of heaven were given to man. The church was freighted with the food of heaven for starving souls. This was the trust the people of God were commissioned to carry to the world. They were faithfully to perform their duty, continuing their work till the message of mercy had belted the world. In the Word, an angel is represented as flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Revelation 14, verse 6, 7. The message of Revelation 14 is the message we are to bear to the world. It is the warning for these last days. Christ came and lived on this earth a life of obedience to the law of God. He ascended to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit to give power to the work of his disciples, and thousands were converted in a day. But a change came. The church lost her first love. She became selfish and ease-loving. The spirit of worldliness was cherished. The enemy cast his spell upon the people to whom God had given light for those in darkness. Light which should have shone forth in good works. There was a world to be aroused. Millions of souls were perishing in ignorance and iniquity. But those to whom God had committed the stores of life looked with indifference upon the souls starving for light, dying in trespasses and sins. Many forgot that to them had been entrusted the bread of life, to give to those starving for salvation. This afternoon, I spoke to a large congregation in the Mammoth Tent. The Lord gave me strength to speak to the immense crowd, and I did not forbear to speak the words of God. I know that He was present this afternoon.